Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. This is the Ladies of Tea Talk Time. And today is July the 9th, and we are here in Dallas, Texas. And even though we are grateful to see another day, we are still in shock. I guess we woke up still thinking about the tragedy that has befallen our state, not just our state, but the country itself. So pretty much that's what mainly we're going to be discussing on this morning show. The last show we had, we talked about the alternatives to motherhood, but today we're going to be shifting the direction of, we usually talk about political stuff and current affairs and things that are happening in our world. But today's show is even more relevant about the things that we talk about than any other morning. I do have my co-host here with me, the beautiful Dee Moore is on the line as well. And I'm sure she's feeling probably a lot of the same emotions that I'm feeling, as well as the frustration, the confusion, and everything else that I'm sure a lot of people are feeling right now, not just in Dallas-Fort Worth, but also across the country and in the other states that is being affected with what is happening with not just Black Lives Matter. Even the UK led a demonstration yesterday about Black Lives Matter because they feel, too, it doesn't matter where Black people are, where we all still look the same. So they led a peaceful demonstration yesterday as well, protests and everything, support of Black Lives Matter. So you're seeing a collective support across the world and across the country for the loss of human lives unnecessarily. So that's a little bit about how I'm feeling this morning. And how are you feeling?
It's a weird feeling. I have for the past couple of days before the Dallas situation, I've been feeling kind of with my mind, not able to, it's kind of like a mind fog, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Is really the best way I can explain it. I don't feel traumatized because I'm used to, unfortunately, the shooting of innocent African-American men. And let's just keep it real. The situation that happened in Dallas, which was ridiculous, and it has to be one of the most cowardice acts that I've seen. Here, this close to home, that I've seen. But it's just, I can't even know where I was going there with that, but I can just say I feel like, I don't know, I just can't, it's hard to wrap my mind around it. I knew when the shooting took place and they identified it as a shooter, I knew that things were definitely going to progressively get worse. That's the way that I feel. Unless this gets under control, what he did, the guy, and I'm really not worrying about being politically correct, the black man that they say killed those five officers, things like this is what we don't need for anybody. For the movement, for police officers, the relationship between police officers and minorities, we really don't need any of this. I don't know, my mind feels scrambled. It's hard to wrap my mind around what happened.
And, I concur with what you're saying, but I also, there is a part of me that also understand that when another human being is able to put their life on the line like that, because he put his life on the line to did what he did, But it's a type of desperation and a type of frustration and a type of anger that led him to that moment of what was happening that led up to that. It's like when you're infected with a disease and you're trying to figure out a way of how to cure it, and you decide that you're going to use any means necessary, I guess, to either cure yourself or to numb the pain that you're feeling, or whatever is eating away at you. And that's, you know, when I look at him, those are the things that come to my mind, is what he was probably going through his head, all the emotion, not the best way to handle it. And I agree with you 100%. We really don't need this. It's not going to help the cause. It's going to take away from everything that's not only the Black Lives Matter community, what they're doing, other humanitarians and civil rights movements, the Pan-African community, everybody that collectively that has been working to give Black people a sense of freedom in this country, where you're able to not be seen as they call it, I guess, as a threat, and all of that. It's, you know, it kind of puts us in put a stop to everything. And, you know, for the people that actually don't know who we are, and the concept of what they think we are in their mind is like, see, I told you that this is what they are. It's kind of like you giving them a reason to say, see what I keep saying, I told you so, or whatever it is. But I still try to get into that space where I can understand him emotionally and where he was. That is, I'm sure it's hurt, and I'm sure it's anger, and I'm sure it's pain and frustration that led him to that building to do what he did. Especially a person he's of military background. Well, I knew that from day one. Once they started talking about snipers, this was not no ordinary civilian. This had to be somebody with military training and background. So, you know, so that's just my take on how I think he was probably feeling. He sure didn't help our cause. It didn't help him either, because they blew him up, which, you know, I sometimes wonder or ask myself if they were able to see him, that they could let the robot, because it's a robot that they drove into where he was, to blow him up, then they probably could have used some other tactics in order to capture him. Because I really would have liked to hear what he had to say, you know, but they blew up the evidence. So we don't, and they're still trying to decipher who he called, who he contacted, and all of that stuff within the 72 hours prior to the rally, the peaceful rally and protest that they were having, because that was actually the third rally that we had in the city prior to the two killings. Because there were two that was held downtown Fort Worth the Tuesday and Wednesday, and there was also one that was held in Dallas as well by the MLK Center that was put on by the Pan-African community. And those were done without any issues. So I guess they're trying to get down to who he communicated with, because they're saying that he must have had help. He must have been working with somebody, even though they claim they found a journal or a diary in his house with a detailed account of this execution and this planning that he had. So I'm not sure if you had seen that report as well, D, with what they were saying of some of the evidence and some of the things that they found in his home. And, of course, they also released some of his he didn't have any criminal record or anything like that. The only thing that I saw that they were able to find on him while he was in the military, a sexual harassment complaint was filed against him. But typically the way the Army and the military works, they handle those things within their own community, within their own environment. So you don't necessarily have like a criminal record or a charge or a mugshot, because they have their own court system and their own justice system of how they handle things when, you know, once you're still on duty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the only thing that I saw that they came up with on him. So I guess we're still waiting for the other reports to come in because they're still gathering evidence. So they have his computer, his laptop. I think they're, you know, taking access of all his phone calls and everything else. So we'll still wait to see what happens. As the days go by, our president is scheduled to be in our city next week. He actually canceled his Europe tour so he can be within the city. Yesterday at noon, they also had a public cry for prayer, for, you know, a community prayer and worldwide prayer. So we had one of our most, you know, sought-after pastor led that the prayer, which is Bishop T.D. Jakes, which is a resident of Dallas, and his church is also here in Dallas as well. So he went ahead and led that. So we'll just have to see, I guess, how everything works out, how everything continues to go throughout the course of the week as they continue to gather evidence and continue to get their thoughts together on this. I do know that for sure, you know, it's official because they're having a memorial service that with five officers that succumbed to their injuries that died. There was actually a total of 12 people that got wounded. 10 were officers, 2 were civilians that was there part of the demonstration. And 5 of those officers did succumb to their injuries. So they're honoring them and it's having a memorial at some point during the week right now. Dee, did you have any anything else that you'd like to share or your thoughts of, you know, just because I know just like myself, you probably didn't sleep the night when everything took place. I know quite a few of people couldn't even function at work. Me, myself could not function, could not focus. I could hardly get through the day, you know, going without sleep and all of that type of stuff, but it was just too much to even do that.
You know, I can say, like, that happened on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been right, really, since the young man in Baton Rouge.
Alton Sterling.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was the moment that I was like, whoa, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That was, as an adult, that was the first time that it kind of hit me. But it was something about, of course, you had, you know, Freddie Gray. You've had Sandra Bland. Sandra Bland hit me in a different type of way. It put me on a different level of consciousness because when it happened to Trayvon, I was like, what? This is crazy. And, of course, there was murders before him, situations that, you know, where African-American men were killed, young boys were killed for no reason. So Trayvon, it was kind of like, wow, that's crazy. This wasn't even at the hands of a cop. Like, that was completely a hate crime that got that got a lot of national attention. I was hurt behind it. I was hurt when he got off, and I was hurt and continue to be saddened when I see Zimmerman proudly still making money off of this and kind of basking in his glory of being the one that killed a black young man and got away with it. That sickens me. Then Sandra Bland here in Texas, when that situation happened, it hit home because Trayvon, it made me think, okay, I may not have a son, but I have a brother. I have two younger brothers. And though they aren't the age of Trayvon, every time after that, it just brought me back to Trayvon. And every time an African-American male was murdered, it bothered me. It was just a situation where I was like, this has got to stop. And then the cops continuously getting let off. That continuously bothered me. Then when Sandra Bland happened, it hit home again because as women, and I can really only speak for myself, though, as a woman, you really don't think that's going, for me, I didn't think that could happen to me. But when I saw Sandra Bland, I was like, that could be me.
Yeah.
Whereas before, I was like, that could be my brother. When it happened to Sandra Bland, and I don't care what nobody says, she was murdered. Forget all of what you guys might hear or might want to believe, because maybe it's too hard for you to wrap your mind around a woman being murdered by the police just because she was black and had an opinion and voiced that opinion. She was murdered. So when that happened, I was like, okay, that could be me. But I still did not, I still didn't see it. Like I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. And this is happening in Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, it really didn't matter if it was in Virginia. Doesn't matter if it was in South Carolina, Alabama. I was just like, okay, something has got to happen. But when I saw the video coverage of Alton Sterling right there, did something. And from that moment on, I really have not been able to mentally wrap my mind around that. To me, that has to be the most brutal video that I've seen, in which cops were, in which I saw a cop killing an African American.
Yeah.
And it's sad that But it's sad that you see videos and that video wasn't as bad as this one, but this one is bad enough that it's happening. You know, my grandfather was a civil rights activist in Oklahoma City. And I used to go to the NAACP things with him, and he was he's always keeping me aware. He did the same for my aunts, uncles, and my mom. And just hearing the stories of what happened back in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s was just surreal to me. It was just a story that I could not understand at the age of 10, 8, 5 years. I could not understand that dialogue. I could not appreciate it the way I appreciate it now. Like, that was so, like, dang. And I used to call my grandfather Big Papa. I was like, wow, Big Papa, that was kind of messed up. But he would always remind me of that was not that long ago. But never in a million years would I think we'll be dealing with this right now. I think our community got so comfortable. And I say our community, my generation got so comfortable with knowing that the things that happened at the hands of police officers back in the 50s and in the 30s and before the start of the civil rights movement, that was so long ago and that can't happen today. Well, guess what? It's 2016 and it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have those type of leaders that we had. Why? Because we got comfortable. I had many of people when I was going to college feeling that racism did not exist. That was saying it was silly to be a part of the African-American society at that particular college. I went to a college in Oklahoma, and a lot of my peers was like, I'm not going to be a part of that because it's not necessary. Well, it is. But I'm sorry, I kind of went on a rant, but it's sickening to me. But to answer your question, yeah, it didn't start for me on Thursday, and it didn't start for me a long time ago. I literally, when I saw the video of the young man being killed and the cop on top of him, screaming, trying to cause a distraction, he knew he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to shoot out and create an alibi That was the only purpose. This man is has been tasered. He is on the ground. You knew you was going to kill him. And
I agree with you 100%.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I saw the video before, and I cried. I was at work crying when I saw the video. Literally, just sitting on my desk, and I was like, "Are you okay?" And I had to step outside, and because my brother is on the New York PD force. We have family that are military, that are serving currently from the Air Force and high ranking. So, you know, I'm not a stranger to authority and all of that type of stuff. I have no issue with good police and police officers, because when I saw that, I had to call him to tell him to be careful and to be smart about his decision and smart about the choices that he makes when dealing with civilian. Because to me, Dee, that was a ambush. It was blatant murder. When they showed up on the scene, there was no announcements of, you know, hold your hand up, get your hand up, what's your name? Nothing. Nothing like that. You just saw them jump out the car and tackle this man, slammed his head against the vehicle he was standing next to where his table was set up where he's selling the CDs. Then when they slammed his head to the ground, one officer has his elbow or his knee in his back. The other one has his hand on pressing it down on his face, and both two of them. And then they're tasing, as you said, and you still feel that you were threatened by this person because you got a phone call. What they're saying is they got a 911 phone call of somebody brandishing a gun. That's why they were there in the first place. But for me, if I show up to the scene of a crime or a place where I hear that people are brandishing guns, I am not showing up like vigilantes the way they show up. I'm sure they weren't standing behind their car, because you don't know the situation you're going into. You didn't come defense behind the car, you know, trying to protect yourself and make what, you know, I'm officer, whoever, we got to hold your hands up and approach the, you just attacked him and murdered him blatantly. They didn't act to me like people that were threatened. That's not what I saw. That was murder in its plainest form. And he was shot not only in the front, but he was also shot in the back. He was shot 8 times.
So according to The Guardian, they tallied the amount of young black men killed by the U.S. police in 2015. Stacey is always researching. I'm asking you a question. You may even know the answer to. But they basically did research and found that 2015, which was just 7 months ago, was the highest rate of incidences between that resulted in the death of black men killed by the United States police. Do you know, can you guess the amount? Probably can't. I wouldn't have been able to guess.
It's 100. Some reports, I've seen some article, which I haven't been able to get the statistics on those numbers. Some like BBC American, some sites has 150. I was able to get on because one of my Fort Worth police friends told me to use moppingpolice.org. He said you get more accurate information. They have a total of 100 on there, and you can see their pictures. And just in the month of April alone, there were, I think, 10 just in the month of April, one in our neighboring county. What is that? San Antonio. Norman Cooper, he was in San Antonio. Then there was Baltimore. Freddie Gray was in Baltimore. This is all in April. Both Freddie Gray, Norman Cooper was April the 19th. And you have Brian Acton, that was April 18th. The 17th, Darryl Brown, that was Maryland. It's ridiculous. And these are days apart that they were just killing them off.
You say how many?
You have just in the between the month of April alone, you had Freddie Gray, Norman Cooper, you have Brian Upton, Darryl Brown, and these are from Baltimore, Maryland. You have Columbia, you have San Antonio, and then you have Gregory Harris. There was Tracy Lee. There was William Chapman, Samuel Harrell. This is all in the month of April.
Okay.
New York,
so,
I can go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, there was Brian Overstand in Georgia. That was on April 28th. You had David Flex, April 27th, New York City.
So it is ridiculous at the rate that is going. According to The Guardian, in 2015, 1,134 deaths. According to BBC News, 1,149 deaths. The youngest recorded was 12. The oldest was 65.
Yep.
Now, we do, I mean, in all fairness, which is what we try to do and try to be, is fair and unbiased. But at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that there are some circumstances and situations that does require officers to use deadly force. That's something that cannot be denied. That's a part of their job. But the concern are those situations as of late that has brought outrage is the killing, the execution of these African Americans, both men and women, and even minorities, unnecessarily. It makes no sense. You know, African, and it's no surprise that African-American men are 7 to 9 times more likely than other Americans to be killed by the hands of police officer.
And you know, the sad thing about it, Dee, is the reason why, because that's the point that Jesse Williams was making, that they have studied the data, they have done the research, and it's proven that the police are able to disarm white people and white men every single day without using their firearm. But for some reason, it's the same cannot happen with black men or black women, because it's not only our men they're killing now, which I think is what has even put the country in a different state of mind. Because it's not, they're killing black women as well. And I think it's because of the training that they get from the beginning, from day one. And that's why it goes deeper than just, I know a president signed a bill to protect them. And yes, they are to be protected because they're good men and women that are on the force that took an oath to serve and protect us. But what they really need to do is they need to do something about the system. It's a systematic problem. It has to be tackled from the root. They were trained to see us as a threat for some odd reason, because they come onto the scene with already on the defense and seeing us as a threat. When they approach, you see it all the time with social media, video, people that now everybody is live streaming with the technology and phones and everything and their tablets. When they show up on the scene for white situations or a white person, they're negotiating with them. They're actually commonly talking to them. They're changing the way how they approach them. When they show up on the scene, they come on the scene with us automatically with their hands on their guns, their batons ready, and ready to attack, because they are trained to see us as a threat. So it's a problem that goes way beyond just signing a bill to protect them. This problem has to be attacked from the system, because it's a systematic problem that is wrong with the country in the way they see black people, the way how they portray us through the media, the way how they portray us on television, the stories they tell about us. We are not all gangbangers. We're not, because people wear dashikis and are pro-black doesn't mean they're racist or anti-white.
And let me say this. The black power fist has nothing to do with terrorism, hate for other races, hate for white people. Is not the same as the swastika, or nor does it represent anything similar to the Confederate flag. A black person with their fist in the air is mainly symbolizing black pride. The picture that they have circulating of Xavier Johnson.
Yeah, Michael.
Of him in a dashiki. Hell, I got one. I have a dashiki.
And that's what I was saying, the narrative of how they portray us to the rest of the world.
This is not what it is crazy. But let me go back to my statistics real quick. Despite us, we only make 2% of the total U.S. population. Black men, African-American males, between the ages of 15 and 34, comprise more than 15% of all deaths in 2015. Only 2% of the total African-American men between this age group represents 2%, but we are more than 7 to 9 times likely to be killed. It just makes no sense. Tamir Rice was 12.
Yeah, and he was the youngest victim, and he was just in a park playing, you know. And then it's not only Sandra Bland wasn't the only, and she's the most talked about, but she wasn't the only female. They also killed, and she was a Navy veteran. She was killed September the 5th of last year in Virginia Beach in a 7-Eleven store, and she's the mother of four. But it's not just men that are, and I think, as I said, that's where the country is right now, is that women are fearful too, to be pulled over, because the right, you can make the wrong move even when you do what you're being told. It still doesn't matter, because they keep telling us, just do what you're told, do what you're told. And I'm like, you can act as free as you want in this country.
Do you feel, let me ask you this, do you feel that this would have happened regardless?
You mean the attack on the police officer?
Uh-huh. Do you think that it would have happened? Say, for instance, people are saying that Micah, who has been identified as the shooter, was fueled, or this was fueled because of what has been going on over the past, several years. They coupled that with him being stopped. He had a situation with the police officer last summer. And then what has happened back to back in these two recent incidences, do you think that was his breaking point? Do you feel that?
Yep, I think it was. And that's why, as I said, I agree with you, the first statement that you made regarding that this doesn't help the Black Lives Matter cause, that it put us in a compromising situation. Now, you know, it has made things more hostile, and we really don't need this with the hostility for not just Black Lives Matter, but just the public in general, what the police officers. I agree with you on that, but I also had to understand the mental state. Say, for example, because I still have my conspiracy theory, which I won't even share with you guys because some people may just think I'm crazy. But say when all the evidence and all the data has been collected that he is the shooter, and he wasn't hired by any higher affiliations for this political agenda that I see that is happening with the election right now that is happening, because I think there is a bigger picture here than we will ever understand. But anyways, I digress. To answer your question, Dee, I had to get to think about the mental state that he was probably in, the frustration, the anger, and everything that he was feeling. Like, this was his breaking point, because he also put his life at risk knowing that he was going to do this act, but he may not also come out of it alive himself. For when people put your own life on the line and you sacrifice your own life, you have to be in another mental state that you're doing this for a better cause. You're doing this for something bigger than yourself, for him to have done that. And I'm sure he has family, too, that are going to put under scrutiny and be investigated and everything. I'm sure all of those things were a part of his thinking process before he made this decision. But he made this decision because he probably let the rest of us, the frustration, the anger, and seeing these police officers, the guilty ones, being let go. They face no criminal charges. They get relieved on pay duty. They put them on desk duty, and they move on with their lives. And these black lives that are lost are not replaceable, and nobody talks about them anymore after that, unless you are Jesse Williams or like yourself or somebody else that actually cares. We move on to the next thing. So I definitely think something would have happened. I didn't anticipate that it would have been on this magnitude, but I really did anticipate that something was going to happen, but not at this level and not this close to home. That I certainly did not predict or see happening.
Yeah, I couldn't wrap my mind around it when I wasn't at the rally, but just seeing what I saw on Facebook and on television, I just could not believe. I just cannot believe that happened. It's so surreal. Living here in Dallas, knowing those areas, knowing, like, if you've been to a city before, even if you're not from here, and you're hearing streets and landmarks and places that you frequent, that you've been to before, you are visually in your mind placing yourself there, like, oh my gosh, I just passed there a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Omni Hotel is one of my favorite hotels. Most of the people could not get to their cars, had to go to area buildings that were considered safe zones, not knowing if it was truly a safe zone, because they didn't know where the shooter was. But for those of you who have just now tuned in, because I see quite a few, and obviously you can tell by the title what we are discussing. We're discussing the overall, our opinions, our views, our beliefs. They may be popular depending on the way you feel, or they may be unpopular. But at the end of the day, we all have to do better in how we react to situations. All of this is a reaction. That's pretty much all that it is. It is a reaction towards the violence that has been perpetuated on African Americans throughout the years. It's the reaction. And emotional, a lot of us allow our emotions to control our actions and the way we handle situations, the way we see situations. We all have to do better. I've seen so many comments on social media from people who are speaking and sounding very ignorant, not realizing what they are contributing and what they're basically promoting. This is not a good time for any of us. It's not a good time for the police officers who families. It's not a good time for the police department, not only in Dallas, but across the country. It's not a good time for any of us. So, you know, there's – oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you a question. So let me ask you, Dee, because I know you have been paying attention to the political campaigns and everything that has been happening. You don't think that even the Republican candidate – I even hate to say his name because that's how I feel, but Donald Trump, even the hatred and everything that he's been spewing since the beginning of the election and all of you don't think that may have even ignited or even had some type of mental state on even the police officers that showed up on the scene for Alton Sterling, for Castell? And that is why I heard, I know what President Obama is trying to do, and that, but I'm still waiting for him to address what is wrong with the system and hold people even accountable for the things that they say. I mean, he's almost out of office. I'm pretty much pleased with most of what he has done. But even to hold Donald Trump accountable for the things that come out of his mouth and the hatred that he's spewing in this country from day one, nobody has really said anything apart from, you know, the black commentators, you know, Ronald from, you know, TV One and other people like Jesse Williams. You don't really hear much coming from the other race of people. They're not, nobody is saying anything.
Are you asking me, do I feel that Barack Obama should be speaking more against Trump's propaganda?
That, and if you don't think that even his propaganda and everything also helped to influence about how the black people are feeling in this country and even how the police officers or even reacting, not that this just now they're reacting to us this way, but even help to influence how they show up on the scenes and how they see black people too, with them talking about putting Make America Great Again and all of this hatred that they've been spewing from day one.
You know, I feel like it doesn't matter what anybody says, Trump is going to do what Trump's going to say, what he's going to say. There has been a few times that Obama has made comments about Trump, his irresponsible comments and things of that nature. So there has been comments from the president, very few, which you don't want to bring too much attention to the propaganda anyway. But I can say that Obama has had and has made stations and statements directly referring to Trump and his campaign gimmick. I feel like at the end of the day, whatever the president says or does not say is not going to change what's going on right now. It's not. He can have the most eloquent speech, which I do appreciate our president, and I like what he's doing. But he can have the most eloquently worded speech, and he can say all the right things according to me or to a supporter. There's somebody out there that's going to be like, oh, he should have said this. Hell, when he did the State of the Union address, we had Tavis Smiley who said, oh, but he should have ended it with Black Lives Matter.
Well, Tavis Smiley has never been a supporter of President Barack Obama from day one.
Right.
So
it does not matter, in my opinion, right, it does not matter whatever Obama says or whatever he doesn't say. There's always going to be, because he can't please everybody. But if he makes the best in the world, if Obama would have been down here the day of the shooting of the officers, it would not have changed this man's decision. Or maybe it would have, but it would not have stopped what has already been set in place. by the series of events that has happened. This is happening under the presidency of our first black president, not under a white president. This is happening under Obama's presidency. He has to hate that it's happening at all. You know, I expect him to cancel whatever he's doing to come down to Dallas and make a statement, as he did in Florida with the shooting that took place at the Pulse nightclub
in Orlando.
You know, I expect that. Is he going to say some things that I wish he should have said? Yeah. But he's not in the minds of everybody. He's going to say what he feels is necessary. He's going to be careful. Whoever writes his speech or whoever he consults with, going to be careful in the things that they say, because everything that he does is scrutinized, and rightfully so. You know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what he says. You know, it is not changing what's going on right now. And I got to believe that our president does not want what's going on now happening any more than the next civilized human being out there. But I agree with Obama cannot be like Jesse Williams and still hold the office of the presidency, in my opinion. He cannot make a speech like Jesse Williams. And those of you who don't know who Jesse Williams is, just Google Jesse Williams BET or Grey's Anatomy. He's an actor on Grey's Anatomy. He made a very prolific speech and stance at the BET Awards after receiving the Humanitarian Award. And he spoke about injustices and what we as African Americans need to do. I don't think anybody should expect the President of the United States to take that stance. I would be surprised if he did. Care that he is a black man, I would be surprised if he took that stance. But I feel that the situation that took place with Alton Sterling and Philando Castile was the accelerant that fueled whoever the shooter was to do what he did. A lot of people are saying they don't believe that Micah was the shooter. A lot of people are saying it is a setup. At this point, I don't know if we'll ever know.
No, because they blew up the evidence.
Huh?
No, because they blew up the evidence. He will never be able to tell his truth or to tell his side or how he felt. So we just have to rely on all the evidence that they collected out of his house, all the investigation that they're doing, because they're trying to, narrow down his activities, who he communicated with, who he talked to, where he went within the last 72 hours prior to the shooting. So they're waiting for all of that to tie into, who may have helped him, because they're well organized. You're saying as it was done and how the execution was put together, he must have had help in that last 72 hours. They said they took a diary out of his house, but they haven't told us. They said it has an account detail of everything that he planned to have done or planned to that he did. So we have to wait for that, for the FBI to investigate, for them to come back with the evidence and the reports on what everything else that they found, because they took his laptop, his computer, and all of that stuff out of his house.
It's just something else.
And as I said, he's never been arrested. He doesn't have any. The only thing they have on him that they can talk about is that one sexual harassment complaint that was filed against him while he was in the military. And they did not give a detailed account of what took place in that complaint or allegation.
You know, so Philandro Castile is the second young guy that was African-American that we know of that was killed this week right behind Elton Sterling, almost 24 hours later, mm-hmm. I would say, because Elton, was he killed on Independence Day?
Yeah.
I think he was killed on Monday. Tuesday,
it was like Philando, Tuesday morning, I think it was close to noon or something like that. So.
Was killed. And then let's tell you a little bit about Philando. He's 32 years old, so he was young. He was stopped by Minnesota police, according to the GRIO, a total of 31 times. And he was charged usually for minor violations, probably failure to wear a seatbelt, you know, no true proof of insurance, small little thing, which was paid out in fines. But 31 times, he's 32 years old. So for almost every year of his life, now mind you, you can't drive at the age of one or two, so I'm assuming this was when he became old enough to drive, which is 16. So at least twice a year, this man was stopped by Minnesota police for minor traffic violations. I can count on one hand how many times I've been stopped. You know, he worked at a Montessori school in the kitchen. For all accounts, he was a good guy. Everyone's saying, everyone that has known him that has had access or that was willing to speak to the news and the media has nothing but nice things to say about him. I think a lot of people are tired and outraged. You know, some people, I've seen posts where people are like, well, what makes this any different than, it's not any different. People are just getting tired.
And the tiredness and the frustration, again, is what has led us to this moment, is the people are wanting to see something done more than just, you know, people talking or a politician talking. And pretty much, again, that's what led us to this moment of not wanting to hear any more speeches and not wanting to hear any more, but wanting to see something done. Was it the thing that I would have done or suggested they do? No. That's not what I would have done. The peaceful protest demonstration, yes. And I wanted them to do it from an economical standpoint because black people spend $1.2 trillion in this country every year. So I wanted us to exercise it in our spending power because I know they would have felt it. If you decide not to go to happy hour, decide not to go out to the bars, decide not to go to the movies, buy your gas at Walmart or Sam's, you know, do something else with your kids, spend some time with them, find simpler things to do and restrict your spending in just black communities and black-owned business. That's how I wanted to see them handle it. As Dee said, the chain of events has led us to this moment, and I'm not so sure where we even go from here or how we move on from here in how we cope, not just as a people and as a race in this country, but how we get the other race of people to coexist with us and to see us differently than how they have seen us and how they have treated us over the years.
Yeah, I'm just speechless. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I don't know. I hope that we will be able to mark this down in history books and as a time in which our nation changed. A time in which we was able to take our emotions out of the equation and actually look at the situation and handle it in an appropriate fashion. Because at this point, it can go either way. And if we don't take the necessary steps to change what's going on, we're just a part of the problem. If you sit back and don't do nothing and want to post and talk about who's not doing what, you're pretty much part of the problem.
Yep. I don't mean to cut you off there. I think we have some people that wants to chime in. Oh, we have 67 that wanted to chime in. I'm getting some message on the event page.
Okay.
I don't know if we have
so
time to unmute anybody. One is a 305 number, if you can see. There
we are about to, we've got like 60 seconds left. The conversation will go on. Hold on just a second. I will unmute. What's the area code you stated?
305.
305. Okay. I am unmuting. And I hear echo, Stacy.
Okay.
Caller, you are unmuted. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We can hear you. Hello?
Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. My name is Simone, and I'm a friend of the show. And you guys advise that you only have, like, seconds left, and I don't feel like that would be enough time to express my opinion on the topic of the show. I agree with pretty much for the most part what you ladies said about, you know, what's going on, the current situation. And I did want to add that, in my opinion, I believe it's more than just racial conflicts. I believe like there is some systematic or some special interest groups that are behind right now the conflicts where I feel like there's something more that's at stake here. And so this is just a ploy or a plot to get people distracted with the racial conflicts and the police brutality, or at this point it's beyond brutality, the murders of black men and black women at the hands of police officers who took an oath to protect and serve. But in my opinion, like I said, I believe there's something bigger at stake or something bigger here. And it's so coincidental that as soon as this administration is leaving office and there's a new one that's at the helm, all these things are beginning to take place. So I believe that we should not be distracted by, I mean, evidently it is important that we address the concerns, because, I mean, I have to live in black skin, so I know the fear of not knowing, especially recently, if you, when you leave out to go to work or go to the grocery store, if you're going to come home alive or if your loved ones are going to make it home alive. But my opinion is it's more than just the police murders and the racial divide and the conflicts. There's something else that is some puppeteer that's pulling the strings that's causing all these conflicts right now, especially with the new election year. So, I mean, the good book says my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so it's important that right now we are very aware. And just don't get distracted by the media. The media plays the story how they want it to be received. You guys mentioned the fact that they chose to, every time they have a black person that's in the media, they try to present them as a villain, like they villainize black people. So it's either a mugshot or they bring up past criminal records. And then conveniently for non-minorities, they find their best picture on Facebook, and then it's always a mental illness why they do the things that they do. And so, you know, I won't hold the show up. I hope you guys continue the topic next week, because there's more at stake here.
Thank you, Simone, for being a supporter of the show. Far and foremost, say that. And as you so eloquently put, there is something bigger. It is important, and I'll just piggyback off of what you said, because you made some excellent points there. We have to stay focused, not allow things to get us distracted. Also have to acknowledge the fact that we are, and Stacy was the one who brought up the point, how we are portrayed in media, which is, we had a show about that last year, about our image and how we are portrayed in the media. It makes it easy for those people who have an agenda to shed us in a negative light. And you're right, when they do find the worst and they dig up the anything that they can find of the victim, mm-hmm. to make that person seem even less humane or deserving of due process,
mm-hmm.
bringing up anybody's history of what they did when they were 18, when they were 20, 5 years ago, something that they may have already served time with, or on, to bring that up to justify how this death was somewhat, or this execution or murder was somewhat justified, is beyond me. And when Simone mentioned about when it is someone that is not African American, they do find the best picture. The woman in Texas that murdered her two daughters 2 weeks ago, that looked like, I was like, wow.
Yeah, she went and got her makeup done at MAC and her hair curled. I mean, she looked gorgeous.
I was like, glamour shot type photo. So, and of course, she had a mental issue.
She had a mental illness. Why she did that to her children?
But every picture that you saw of Sandra Bland, unless it was put up by someone that was black, they put up whatever pictures that they could find. And this is just all of them. The image mm-hmm. that they had of Alton versus the images that I've seen his families and loved one has posted, complete difference. But you're right, Simone. There is a bigger, something bigger at stake here. And we do have to remain focused and not be distracted upon the little things that happen that we blow up. There's so much conversation about the background of Micah, but again, that rally was for this injustice that we have experienced as a people. I had somebody on my timeline, and I have, you know, a majority of the people that follow that are on my Facebook are Black. This should be no surprise. But I had a couple of people that were not Black, don't even really know their nationalities, that were just as supportive. But I had one person, white man, who posted and tried to twist the situation that happened or the incident that happened in Dallas to try to cause blame on Black Lives Matter. That was not a Black Lives Matter rally at all. People who support the movement definitely were in position in there. And there were probably quite a few Black Lives Matters banners and posters, but that was not organized by Black Lives Matter. And even if it was, they were not behind the shooting, period. People are so ready to associate anything that's positive for African Americans when we are fighting against injustice. They want to parallel that or align that with terrorism or anything negative. Anytime you're Black and you stand up for what you believe is right, then they want to demonize us or it or the cause. But you're right, we have to stay focused. Our show, our live stream stopped 15 or 10 minutes ago, but the conversation still goes on and can be replayed once the end of the call. So that's important to know. Those with the live link may not be able to assess it because it cuts off right at that hour mark. But after the call is over, they'll be able to hear the remaining of the dialogue. But again, thank you so much, Simone. I'm not sure if she's still on the line, but you bring out some very good points. And again, back to Stacey's comment, initial comment, it has a lot to do with the way we are perceived and portrayed in the media. Some of these cops have never dealt or interacted with African Americans. Some of these cops living in the city, they've never dealt with Black people. So all they know is what they see on TV.
And that is why I would like or political officials, not just you know, whichever presidency we're going to get in this next election in a few months, but our senators and I would like for Black people to also be very conscious of your local senators, your judges, and those type of people that you're voting into office. Don't just show up for the big election in November. Show up for the local elections, too, that determine who sits on the counselors of the school boards, who in your communities, who sits on your jurisdiction in your state. Because if those people don't have our interests at heart and those people don't care about what happened to our children, what happened to our men, then it's not going to change. It's not going to change a lot of things because we also have to show up at the polling pole for those local elections as well. We also have to find out what they believe, what they are, and what they stand for before we vote them into office because the change needs to start there as well. So we can see change within the local police departments, within our communities, because it's a systematic problem of how they train them to see us. They see us as a threat. Just like Dee is saying, that's like the point Simone made, the way how they see us, the image they portray about us in the media, that we are a threat, we're thugs, because God forbid you should be pro-Black. And if the thing is, if there was no reason for us to be poor black, because there's so much things that is taught to us to hate about ourselves, it's the why we have to become pro-black and black-minded, we wouldn't have to do this if there wasn't a system set up against us from day one to begin with. And it doesn't make any of us racist, or nobody that I know that are pro-black or that is for black and want us to thrive and be free and have the same rights and to be able to live, they're not racist people. We just love ourselves just the way the Jewish community love themselves, the Asian people love themselves, the white Americans love themselves, and you.
Right.
But for us, we are racist when we love our blackness, which don't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I just like I said, I something has to be done, and we have to have the right people that are our leaders. I was speaking with a good friend after the second man was killed, after Phil was killed. And we were on the phone. I was at her house, and she was on the phone with a childhood friend that lives in Seattle. And the conversation was, something needs to be done. We need leaders. Well, hello, if you are of the right mind enough to say we need some leaders, why don't you be that leader? That's my final plea.
Yes.
We have an issue. We obviously are not equipped. We don't know what to do. We don't. Back when our ancestors, our grandparents were marching, our grandparents was marching, or our parents, they had a solution. They were more unified. They came together. Were people criticizing Martin Luther King Jr.? You're damn straight. They probably were. Just as much as we criticized Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. I'm pretty sure there was plenty of people talking about what they could have done better than MLK. I'm pretty sure plenty of people felt the way that they feel about him, the way we feel about some of our current leaders now. But he did make a difference. What he did then is not going to work now, because the people he had following him followed him, supported him. They were oppressed to where they didn't have no choice. Right now, we're kind of thrown in that situation, and we don't know what to do, but we want to say what people aren't doing. Well, if you feel that you can do it better, do something or shut up.
Dee, I don't know if you heard, because I was trying to make sure, because I like to make sure we verify things before we say it, but the police officer, what is her name, that spoke out about the reason, as you said, do something about it, you know, and just to quote Nelson Mandela, that it said to be the change in the world that you want to see, that she talked about the reason why she became a police officer, and she was calling out those of them that may be racist, that may be on the force, that took an oath, but you took it for the wrong reason. I heard she got suspended for that video. What is her name?
Oh, the police officer?
Yeah, the female police officer.
You're speaking of Nakia Jones, I believe is her name. She was not. I will say that she was not suspended.
Okay, because I saw an article circled around, but I didn't go verify, because you know they like to put up fake articles.
For those of you that don't know, Nakia Jones, and I have to look that up real quick, Stacey, I'm not near a computer, if you are. I believe her name is Nakia Jones, but she made a comment, and she made a video. She is a police officer. She proudly talked about how she took oath. She's African-American, why she took the oath. And she also communicated very effectively and very directly to officers who are racist, who sign up to be an officer number one, and those officers who sign up and become servants of the community in which they detest. She demanded for them to put their badges down, and she basically said, "How dare you?"
Yeah, she works with the Cleveland Police Department, and she also chose to raise her children within that community.
Exactly.
Because she said she wants to show and be an example to show people that you can work in those communities and can raise your kids, because it's about the parenting, you know, and she didn't want to separate herself. Because she became a police officer because she wanted to make a change within her community and in her neighborhood.
And she says, if you are a police officer, and this is not a quote directly, but basically she says, "Shane, if you're standing right next to me, I would tell you you're wrong if you're doing wrong. And if this is what you're doing, how dare you?" She basically called out anybody. She didn't name names. She didn't insinuate that she knew anybody in particular, but her video went viral. She has 5 children. She's a wife and a mother of 5 and a police officer.
Yep, she's been on the force 15 years.
And she took that oath. She proudly took that oath, and she proudly serves her community. Well, there were some reports, and that video I saw had 6 million views by the last time I looked at it. And it's a very emotional video, but she kept it real. We all say she kept it 100. And with that being said, there was a report I saw yesterday on our favorite place on the earth, social media, that she was suspended. But she basically, on her personal page, basically refuted that. She says, "No, I was not suspended. I did not lose my job. I am still working. And if there are any GoFundMe accounts, please report it."
Yes. That was the last thing I saw on her page, was that somebody illegally set up a GoFundMe for her. As I was saying, that I didn't have time to go verify it because I just saw the heading that she was suspended. But I know that there are sites out there that report stories that are not true. So unless it's not from a reliable source that I trust, I really don't repost it and I don't buy it. But however, I know that for a fact, what Dee's talking about, the GoFundMe, she did make a statement about that, and she asked people not to donate to anything that is associated with her with a GoFundMe account, because it's not legitimate.
Right.
I mean,
you know, it this is ridiculous. But at the end of the day, we have to have more people like Nakia Jones. That is her name, right?
And for anybody that you know would want to look her up, because she's on Facebook, you can also look up the video on YouTube. Her name is spelled Nakia. That's N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, K as in King, I as in India, A as in Apple. Jones, J-O-N-E-S. And as I said, as Dee said, she kept it 100. She was very blunt, straight, honest, and it was very emotional, too. You saw every emotion in her, because she's a mother as well, you know, talking about, and she's a wife, the loss of life innocently. And she also understood from the perspective that she's also an officer. So she knows what the other side of the spectrum looked like, as she's, you know, eloquently stated in the video about seeing rapists every day and gun violence every day, not just black-on-black crime, but she's seen it. She's been on the force for 15 years, so she's not, you know,
we need more people
closed-minded like it, but she knows that there are officers out there don't do their job properly.
We need more people,
like her. Yeah,
that was brave enough, that are in different positions. She's not trying to be a public speaker. She's a public figure, right? She is
a public servant. She's not trying to be a celebrity overnight.
Right. She's not trying to be an overnight celebrity. She said she was in the position to make the statement, and she felt compelled to, and that's what she did. She was not an opportunist. So we need more people like that maybe she won't be the one that leads a rally for gun or police brutality. But we need people like that who understand and that has an audience or have a position which affords them the ability to speak position. Or a person who is oppressed to speak from that perspective. Our purpose here really isn't to convince anybody, because I've never tried to convince any person of the my need or our need for equality. If you got to go into a conversation defending your cause and think it's going to be that effective, you're fooling yourself. I'll engage in conversation, but you really do not have to engage too much with anybody who is not even trying to listen. It's basically like talking to a wall. To have this guy to say, basically, the woman of the people of Black Lives Matter, or the creator, I forgot exactly what he said, is on my page. He ended up deleting it, his comment, but basically saying the person behind Black Lives Matter now has bloods on their hands. That was his exact, pretty much to the
wow
of exactly what he said.
First of all,
you idiot.
Youth guy was not a member of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a organization like you would have the Pan-African, or you would have the, any other organization, the NAACP or something like that. He was not, he acted, and we're still waiting on all the evidence and the data to come back. So, you know, right now he's what they are saying is the vigilante behind this, or whatever, however they want to phrase it. But he acted as an individual. This was his individual act. He was not acting on behalf of Black Lives Matter. He was acting on, as we discussed earlier in the show, the anger, the frustration, and everything else that the rest of us is feeling, that I'm sure was boiling up on the inside of him. And that's how he chooses to react to it. So that was a stupid statement. The same way you guys don't want us to put all of you in the same boat with the Ku Klux Klan and everybody else, then don't put the act of one black person, what they choose to do, in reaction or retaliation to the pain and the anger that they're feeling with everybody else.
Right.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, they want to compare that to a KKK type of organization or a sale.
Black Lives Matter is not a KKK. It's not hate. It's not about hate. It's about equality. It's about freedom. It's about rights. KKK was lynching people and burning them to death. That is, how do you even make a comparison?
I don't know.
And that is the thing that sometimes angers me, is because when they try to make comparison, the thing, their rationale don't make sense. How do you compare one thing to the other? It's not even the same ballpark. They see in the Black Lives Matter dressing up in white sheets and quotes on their head and burning people on crosses and picking up people off road and hanging them and doing it. They see anybody doing that? They're just ridiculous people. Anyway, so. The ignorance. This is what we're talking about, and that this is the thing, that if you are not careful, if you don't get up in your right frame of mind with the grace of God every day, is what can happen. Because the comments that some of these people make, the offensive comments that make no sense, the rationale that makes no sense, the comparison is what continue to frustrate people of color. And it's like pouring salt in a wound, a wound that has already been hurt, a wound that has already been damaged, that is not having been close to have been healed, and you keep pouring salt in it. That's how you guys make us feel, with your comments. No empathy, and you want us to get over it and stop talking about it. How can we when you guys make comments like that? Because you're still misinformed. You're still miseducated about who we are and what we are. Anyway, my love, I know, I guess we're still, it will record regardless, but as I said, we're well over the time. And this is a dialogue that I'm sure is going to continue, not just with us, but as well as with the other platforms that are out there, from Roland on TV One, the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, the Steve Harvey Morning Show. This is what is going to be talked about for quite a while. As we stated before, our president is supposed to be here in Dallas, Texas, sometime next week because he did cancel his Europe tour, so he should be here. They have also canceled all the political campaign stops that they had scheduled, not just for the Republicans but for the Democrats as well for the rest of the week. There are supposed to be memorials and everything like that scheduled from today on through the rest of the week, you know, to pay homage and to show their respect for the officers that lost their lives. And, you know, me and Dee, I think we stand on the same opinion. We have no issues with police officers. We have no issues with authority and our people that are in office and in the police department that took an oath to serve and to protect us, because you have some great human beings out there that will put their lives on hold for any of us, because they don't see a color when they see us. They just see people. They are people. We know they exist out there. So our issue is just for the fairness in how they portray us, the fairness in what they spew out to the world, the image, the narrative, all of those things and how we're treated. We're not a threat. We're not, you know, we're not less than humans. Some of the things that are being done to us, we do not deserve it. And that's basically what we want to see change. From the root, from the systematic root of how they're trained, from the how the system is set up, it needs to be changed. So, as I said, this dialogue will continue. It won't just be with us. It will, I'm sure you guys are on social media. You will see it. But stay focused, stay vigilant, and let's support each other in whatever it is that we're doing in a peaceful way. It can be organized and it can be done. Pretty much all I have, you know, at this point, because sometimes I'm at a loss for words because I get so, my emotions sometimes probably will betray me, but that's just how I feel.
All right, that's pretty much it for me. We got work to do, people.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do. Amen to that. We have a lot of work to do. And I now will, you know, implore you guys to let's do the work. As Dee says, if Beatle eloquently put about the guy talking about leaders, then start something, do something. Don't let us not just talk. Try to support our business more.
Yep. If you got something to say, say it. Do it. Don't criticize those that are if you ain't got nothing better. Not saying that was that conversation. Just in case you're listening,
right?
The conversation that we had was very, very positive. And you know, whenever we do, we gotta do better. That's pretty much all I. We just have to do better in supporting people who step out and try to make a change. Like I'm up here trying to figure out what can I do?
Yeah.
I think everybody should have that same. I'm just going to sign off with, you know, everybody that feels angered by all of this that has transpired, regardless of the way you feel about it. If you feel that we can move in a positive direction, by all means, do something or support somebody out there that is.
Yes. Figure out how you can do something. Pretty much, I know I've started with how I plan on I've always been conscious about how I spend my money, but I'm more so very conscious about where and how I spend my money and with who I spend my money with, because I personally believe that's where we'll have the most effective doing something, where it actually is going to bring some attention to some people. But that's just my personal opinion, and that's just what I personally choose to do. So I can't tell anybody else how to do it or their way of contributing or how they're going to do it. But I say all try to figure out what we can do and do it. Stay focused, support each other, and, you know, do it collectively, do it peacefully, and do it with love. Because there's nothing wrong and there's no shame in us loving each other and us having a pride and a sense of who we are and being proud of to be Black and to live in this country. There's nothing wrong with it. And don't let anybody make you feel like there's something wrong with it or that you're racist for doing so, because I don't believe it. We're not racist because we have pride in who we are and we love ourselves. So that's pretty much all I have, guys. For those of you that are in Dallas, just be careful out there on the road. I do encourage you guys to go about your day-to-day life as well, but just to be vigilant and be careful and make smart choices. And whatever you guys do, do it in love. And that's pretty much it for me at this point. I know Dee has to go, as well as myself, has some stuff to do. So, again, we thank you for your support every week when we are on. You can find us on social media. It's Tea Talk Time. Everything across the board is Tea Talk Time. Instagram, Twitter, our website is the same, www.teatalktime.com. If there's anything you want us to talk about, if you have an opinion on this week's show or something you think we may have missed that you want us to touch on, send us a message. We will respond and we will address it.
All right, y'all be safe.
Till next time, everybody. Goodbye.